Hey, young man, what's that point you're trying to make? What's a boy to do when he's got no more love to take? It's not quite enough to satisfy your every heart's desire when you're staring at that bright new shiny object you've acquired. And you say, you're the only one I've ever dreamed of, and I'm not letting go until I've had enough. You're the only one, I don't see anything but you. Hey, young man, won't you take the time to hear the words of another man who would like to bend your ear? He's saying, take your eyes off those shiny objects for a spell and look inside to find the light behind that hole you're trying to fill. And you might say, you're the only one I've ever dreamed of, and I'm not letting go until I've had enough. You're the only one, I don't see anything but you. And what is this light? And you're the only one, I don't see anything but, I can't see anything but you. And time races like your fast car, and you drove right past her loving heart. Politicians, competition, don't you think you took it all a bit too far? She saw that light inside you, and she told you you're the only one I've ever dreamed of. So take that new light you found, and don't do anything but make yourself a brand new star. Make yourself a brand, make yourself a brand new start. Now you've got time to grow, time to slow down, and time to take in what you found, and see the girl, see the world, see yourself as another man. And you're the only one I've ever dreamed of, and I'm not letting go until I've had enough. You're the only one, I don't see anything but you.
And that was The Only One, and I'm here with Carbondale musicians Matt Haslett, who's on guitar, and he's playing with Jackson Emmer, who's on guitar and will be playing banjo in a little bit. They're here in Paonia for a gig at the Revolution Brewery, and Matt's music is a blend of many styles, mainly consisting of blues, bluegrass, jazz, rock and roll, and traditional folk. Welcome to Talkin' Music, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Allie.
Yeah.
So that song, you have a video for that I saw on your website, and you're making a series of videos right now, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we're making a series of them, and Jackson was just in the last one with our good friend Natalie, who's joined us for a couple shows. I basically just, as an artist, it's my mission to just get content out there as much as I can. And so there's a great studio in town, the owner of which is one of my really dear friends. He's helped produce a couple tunes, and he's just like, he wants to be behind the keyboard pushing buttons as badly as I want to be behind the guitar. So
nice.
You know, we reinforce each other, and we're like, hey, let's just throw out as many videos as we can. You know, we'll do like one a week, we'll throw them out on Sundays, and if they're good enough, they make the cut, and if they aren't, they don't. So
yeah, well, that's how you get it done. Well, that's how you get good, basically, to just work hard, put a lot of it out there. Get better.
Yeah. I mean, they say, 1,000 hours of practice is important, but I think that's true. But I think 1,000 hours in front of people or in front of a camera is more important.
Yeah.
Because then you're really paying attention. You know, you don't really have a chance to like sit behind your guitar and just noodle around for 3 or 4 hours because you're avoiding cleaning your bedroom or doing the laundry or whatever. It's like, it's go time.
Right.
So your attention's on it. And I think that's where you really get better.
So you have some experience performing too. You were an actor for a while, right?
Yeah, well, I was a theater major in college, and then I went out to L.A. You know, it's kind of like if you're doing theater, you go to New York, and if you want to do film, you go to L.A. So I went to L.A. and was pursuing that for about 7 years, and it's a rough go. It's a rough go out there. I mean, especially if you enjoy like nature and outdoors, you're kind of out of your element.
So you decided enough with that and moved back to Colorado, or how did you end up in Carbondale?
Well, yeah, I decided enough with that. I was just tired of being scripted. I think there's plenty of people out there who can sort of, you know, find their voice behind the guise of another character, but that's not me.
Yeah.
So I turned to writing songs as a means of, you know, discovering my own voice and nurturing my own creativity. And then I thought, well, you know, if I can write songs, I can take my guitar anywhere. I don't have to be in LA anymore.
Right.
You know? And so I actually moved to Carbondale to work for a solar electricity company.
Okay.
And wound up just playing more songs.
Great. So I read that your goal sort of with your music is to express a broad range of human experience. And you're recognized for your storytelling abilities and your writing. Can you talk a little bit about your writing process and how you tap into that,
oh man,
that human experience and that range?
Well, I think, you know, for every good song, or at least every song that I think is good enough to be heard, you know, there's a bunch of others that never see the light of day. And I think it's more important for me to tell stories, you know, that have either characters or themes in them, than it is to, you know, sit there and burden you all with my problems. Mm-hmm. All the time. And so something that's been pretty, I think, recurring in my process is that I'll write a lot of songs about myself, just to get that out, just to kind of get it out of the way and allow, you know, other themes to emerge, or I'll just, you know, plug in things that I think are important to other characters or other voices. Because, I mean, a good thing about music is it's a good way to express yourself without burdening other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never wanted to use... I'll certainly use my songs as therapy, but I'll keep that to myself. You know, mm-hmm. There's a couple of those ones that'll make it out. But for the most part, I like telling stories about things that I think people want to hear and that I think are important.
Talk a little bit about the song that you started off with, Only One, because I think the lyrics are interesting in that one. What is that song about to you? And
well, I was reading a book called Iron John by a guy named Robert Bly. And it's basically a book about young men. And it asks the question, like, what's your role? What's the role of the young man in society? Like, the macho man doesn't cut it anymore. It's not enough to only be sensitive and to not be able to, you know, hold a job. Like, what's, you know, what's...
that's not going to work.
Right. Well, neither of them are.
Yeah.
You know, you need to sort of develop more of a complete picture. And so I was thinking of it in terms of way too much consumerism in society, way too much of an effort on a lot of people to create a sense of identity by aligning themselves with a certain organization, or by, you know, the things that they have or the fancy car that they have or whatnot. And it's not enough. I think a lot of the real meaning has to be intrinsic. It has to come from within and inform the way that you go about your life. And then, you know, the second part of the puzzle was you're not going to reach anybody by telling them that they're wrong. You know, or by judging them or putting them down so you can feel better about yourself. So I started developing a relationship with this character, and I thought, you know, I got to root for this guy. I got to pull for this guy somehow, because he's me and he's a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So really that song is about, you know, looking inside for happiness instead of looking to material possessions.
Do you think that's in our mainstream consciousness a little bit more? More and more people are embracing that idea and trying to figure out how that works?
I certainly hope so. I mean, it's hard for me to tell if it's more in our consciousness now than it ever has been. I think it's maybe more than it was, you know, 60 or 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's certainly been an ebb and flow. You know, if you look back to ancient societies, it was certainly there.
Yeah, and it's been harder to get work.
Yeah.
So maybe people are like, you know what?
Yeah, right. Right.
Maybe there are some other important things I should focus on.
That's a good point.
So who are some of the other musicians out there that make you feel something and are accomplishing that Storytelling aspect of music.
One of the great things about moving from LA to Carbondale was that, you know, I felt like for the first time in my life, I was plugged into a great community. There really wasn't a sense of community in LA. And I have been taking a lot of inspiration from like local people, you know, like Olivia Pevick is a local rock star in a band called All the Pretty Horses. I think Jackson's stuff is really cool.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say.
And it's, you know, it's neat to be able to take inspiration from talented people that are right in your proximity, you know, that you can have a conversation with, or collaborate with. But you know, before that, the big guy in my world was Dave Matthews.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. He's good. Nice. He's sound just like him.
I know. I'm killing it, right? Actually, I heard him on the radio today on KDNK, and I was driving, and my mind has been opening to Dave lately. And I heard him on the radio, and I was like, this is pretty sweet. You know, like, I don't know what he's thinking about or what he's singing about, but I don't care. Like, I'm just in Dave's world right now.
Well, he certainly does have his own world at this point. The old following and... Right.
What's that song? Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, ants marching.
Yeah.
Ants marching? Uh-huh. Yeah, ants marching. I remember seeing that on MTV and being like, oh, I guess I should like this. It's on MTV.
Jackson, you are a music teacher at CRMS in Carbondale, right?
I'm a teaching assistant, and I come and go. So I'm not there right now.
It's not that official, but...
it's not that official. Yeah, I mean, it feels official sometimes, but more often than not, no, most of my teaching is private students that I work with, and I do workshops at local libraries and venues and perform and write a lot.
So how would you describe your teaching style? What do you think is effective with kids who are just getting started?
All my lessons are student driven, and I ask students what they want to learn. I mean, it starts with an instrument. You know, what's your vehicle? Is it voice? Is it guitar, mandolin? But from there, it's what song do you want to learn? And from the songs or from the material that they choose, we learn musical skills that are broader than that song or that single point.
Right. So what are they requesting? What do they want to learn how to play?
Have you heard of Megan and Liz?
Oh, wait. Are they two girls on YouTube?
Yeah, two girls on YouTube.
They're amazing.
They are amazing. Yeah, so Megan and Liz is kind of popular. And Taylor Swift, of course, is really popular. One Republic I've been hearing a lot of lately. And I feel like I'm so in touch now with
the... Yeah, you know what the kids like.
The kids. I mean, just a few kids. But a lot of my students are actually adults. And they want to learn stuff by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. They want to learn John Denver, Bonnie Raitt. And AC/DC comes up a lot, regardless of age. Mm-hmm. And Led Zeppelin, which is too hard for beginners. I'm just throwing it out there. You really drive yourself nuts trying to learn that. So, so my ears are just getting bigger all the time because of what I'm being introduced to.
So, like, if they ask for a Taylor Swift song, then you start teaching them about just the basics of country music or commercial country music?
It really, well, commercial country music. I mean, I'm no expert on commercial country music, right? I can't make broad informing statements about that. But, you know, music is music in a lot of ways, especially Western music. So there are themes in the chord progressions that come up. There are themes in the scales and the harmonies. And we start to talk about that as a structure. But a lot of it depends on what people need. Like one of my students... there are two that are kind of good examples. One of them is 60-something. She's now playing the banjo, but she's a Juilliard graduate.
Oh, wow.
And she can sight read like nobody's business, even on a banjo. She's just started learning. But that's not broadening her skills, really. So she wants to learn how to hear. Like she can't put what she sees on a page to, you know, sound. So I'm working with her to hear chord changes in the music and apply it to the banjo. And that's... I mean, that's broadening her up, you know. And then on the flip side, and I had to like figure out what she needed and what she was really wanting, because she just shows up and says, I want to learn the banjo. And I'm like, well, you know, the banjo is just a vessel for music. So where are we going really? And then another student of mine is I think 11 or 12, and she has perfect pitch. I don't think she knows it, but she does. And so understanding harmony and pitch is not a problem for her at all. But she doesn't, because she's 11, right, read the lyrics and understand. So as a result, her songs sound very uneven because she's not in touch with the lyrics for most of the song. One sentence will pop out where she really gets it, like, I lost my cat and I'm just so sad. It's like,
that there's a lot of feeling
there. Yeah, she knows what that means and she delivers. And so I'm working with her to really read the rest of the song and be able to deliver it with as much conviction as she does when she understands that moment about the lost cat.
Mm, nice.
Thank you. It's all over the map.
You sound like a good teacher, though. You do.
I'm trying to be, and I don't always hit the mark, but I work at it.
And I'm here with Matt Hazlett and Jackson Emmer, and I'd love to hear another song from you guys.
What song do you want to play?
Let's play Faith.
You got it.
In C sharp minor.
It saves me, like, you know, 3 seconds of awkward noise if I don't have to figure out the key ahead of time. Okay, well, let's... Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
1, 2, 3. Of the poor, certain wisdom not foreign to me. I've seen the wanting of the rich, possessing all but the eyes to see. How bad do you want this, and how far are you willing to go? Deep down in the bottom of the breath of my soul lies a road leading to the unknown. Tell my mother I'm going away. Tell my father that I'll be okay. Tell my brothers and tell my sister I'll be gone, searching for my faith. One by one, piece by piece, I collect all the things that I know I'm gonna need. Certain fears will be my friends that I can give to my courage when it needs to feed. You can see my faults. Tell me, sir, can you look at your own? It's not an easy thing to keep your honesty until the light in your heart is fully grown. Tell my mother I'm going away. Tell my father I'll be okay. Tell my brothers and tell my sister I'll be gone. Searching for my faith. Wake me up. Searching for my faith.
Lovely. That was the song Faith from Carbondale musicians Matt Hazlett and Jackson Emmer, who are in town today to do a a little show over at the Revolution Brewery. So you have a new CD out, Matt.
Yes, I do.
And it's called Amuse. Mm-hmm. And it features Peonia musician Randy Utterback on a few tracks, right?
That's right. Local legend.
Yeah.
Randy, well, I think he plays on every track. And he plays, if you look at the credit page, it's kind of ridiculous. It's like, Matt Hazlett, guitar and voice, so-and-so, one instrument, so-and-so, one instrument, Randy Utterback. And then it's like an entire paragraph's worth of instruments that he played on it.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh, he's great. So much fun. You know, I think I had been recording for about 8 months before I met Randy, and Randy recorded his parts, which, like I told you, are, you know, at least six instruments on every song in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, if you're listening, you should come play with us sometime.
Yeah, I can't call you Randy because I have no cell service, but if you're listening...
Randy, my name is Jackson Emmer. Look me up. I'd love to play with you.
You have some fans in Carbondale, Randy.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
What's the Carbondale music scene like?
It's really cool.
Who is there that we have to see when we're in Carbondale?
You got to see all the Pretty Horses. You got to see Jackson do his originals.
Makes sense. Keep it coming, man.
Yeah. You got to see me. No, I'm kidding. Not really. Who else? I said all the Pretty Horses, Jackson. Steve Skinner's in town. He's got a great band, the Mile Markers.
Steve Skinner rocks so hard.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Manager of KDNK, right? Yeah. I didn't know he played in a band. Oh, cool.
Yep.
What kind of music is that?
I don't know.
They're just crazy. They're really kind of nuts.
I saw him sing an opera piece that he wrote. It was a cappella, you know, cantorizing about dandelions and fracking in the Thompson Divide.
He was
awesome. It was at Steve's guitar. It was as part of Dandelion Days. He was emceeing, but he took a couple minutes out of his day to grace us with his just unbelievable everything. And yeah, it was great.
He's a showman for sure. They dress up. I think it's the Uninhibited Swedes or something like that is the name of his band.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
But not without, you know, he's a showman, but not without content, as you said. Yeah.
He's got the stuff.
He's got something to back it up.
He's got the moves.
Yep. So, what genre of music would you like to delve into, both of you, that you haven't done yet? Or maybe you've done everything. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Like, is there some...
You want to take that one to start?
I have not done everything. I would really like to play more Texas swing music. I played, you know, things that stem from that, but not any really hardcore Texas swing. And I like to travel down to Texas and play with people when I can. Sometimes I get into it when I'm lucky, you know, I find people to play with, but most of the time it's hard to find the right people to hang with. And I just love that music, you know.
What do you do when you just find people to play with? Do you just like go to a venue, find a group of musicians and just start jamming with them? How does that work?
Well, I mean, like anyone, I gravitate towards people who do what I do a lot of the time. So I know a lot of people who are musicians on some level, be it full time or just you know, on their own time. And so anywhere in the country that I know someone, they probably know other people. And so if I'm going to a town, I'll, you know, email or call my friends and say, you know, I'm going to Austin.
Get the band together.
Yeah. Do you know anyone who would want to come over and hang out and play? And sometimes the answer is yes and everyone can make it. And other times it's like, no, we got to put the kids to bed. It's not going to happen. So,
I mean, then it's out on the streets for you.
Austin is super cool though, because so many people there play and play at a high level, and you can go hear great music anytime. And I've heard that that makes it really hard for any of the musicians to make a living because, you know, the market is so saturated with great players. But as a listener, you know, and as someone who just comes by there like me, you know, it's like great because I can call one of my friends and then meet five other great musicians and have a really fun night playing.
Oh yeah. You must get inspired too.
I do. Yeah.
Just seeing all these new people performing.
Yeah.
And I've been speaking with Matt Hazlett and Jackson Emmer. Would you guys play one more for us before you go?
Sure.
All right.
I'd be happy to. Let's play Holiday.
Can I? On the banjo?
Yeah. In G.
I got a two. I think we're pretty good. Thank you.
Yeah.